bringing the light of Jesus Christ to a world darkened with sin. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an outreach ministry of the Progressive Primitive Baptists. Our purpose at the Lighthouse is to present you the truth of God's Word and its relevancy for your daily living. We want to help equip you to light your world with the truth of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is both Lord and Savior. Hello, my name is Scott Ryan, and I invite you to join us now as we study God's Word together. Welcome, and thank you for joining us today at the Lighthouse. I'm your host and radio Bible teacher, Scott Reiner. Today, we conclude our study based on Paul's second letter to Timothy, the fourth chapter, verses 1 through 7, that was taken from a sermon that I recently preached at a pastor's ordination service. Now, this message centered on Paul's charge to the young pastor Timothy. So with those thoughts in mind, please join with us for today's study. And so as we read through this letter, it seems that Paul, although he is convinced that Timothy is a believer, but he is concerned about his level of commitment or faithfulness in executing the ministry that has been given to him, to that which he has been called and set apart. If you've done any reading about Timothy, many scholars believe that he was by nature a very timid individual, and so obviously very easily intimidated by others. But the reality is that in the course of history, this is not something that is limited to Timothy. There are many men of God who by nature are perhaps timid. That does not disqualify someone in and of itself. But it can, if an individual allows that to govern the nature of his ministry. So Paul does not seem to be satisfied that Timothy is operating at a level that is conducive for faithful and effective ministry. So he encourages him. He charges him. And so we use this as a platform to encourage and instruct young men, or perhaps older men, but who are entering into the ministry later in life, to recognize the nature of this charge for their own ministries, to listen carefully what is being said, because this is something that is true for every man of God that the Lord himself calls into ministry. So with those thoughts, we come to our first major point, and that is the solemnity of Paul's charge to Timothy. That is, its seriousness. And this is seen in verse 1. Here the Apostle Paul writes, "I charge you therefore," and the term therefore picks up the thoughts that we just read a moment ago, that picks up Paul's primary emphasis on the Scriptures, the power and the nature of Scriptures, their function, and how that relates to the man of God being complete or thoroughly equipped for every good work. And of course, a large part of that deals with the faithful execution of ministry. "I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." Now, for the sake of time, and we are conscious of time in a setting such as this, because there's not only the sermon that relates to the charge to the candidate, which this involves, but there's also a charge to the church as well, or at least in our particular tradition and fellowship of churches. So while there's a lot to say here, just simply for the sake of time, we're not going to be able to say everything that should be said, and perhaps maybe even needs to be said, but we're going to touch largely upon the high points. Now, in this charge, the seriousness is seen initially in the phrase, before God. Paul makes this charge to Timothy, but he emphasizes that this is in the presence of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this phrase, before God, seems to me to pick up the idea of God's divine omnipresence, that God is everywhere at once in the fullness and completeness of his being. And so this reminds us, as I once read, that this means that we are living out our life in the presence of an audience of one. We live our life in the presence or before the presence of God. There is nothing that we can do that will escape his attention. So on the one hand, that brings great comfort to know that regardless of what we face in life, the difficulties, the challenges, especially as it relates to ministry, God knows. Not only is God omnipresent, but he is also omniscient, that is, all-knowing, and he is omnipotent, all-powerful. But in those moments that our ministry is in public on display, or in those moments of darkness when there is no one else around but us and God, God is there. So again, it is a comforting thing, but then it can also be a very frightening thing to know that God is there in those moments of our weaknesses, those moments of our failures, those moments of our fears, when we give in to temptation, when we give over to fear, when we utterly fail in what God has called us to do. So one of the most fundamental things that any minister needs to grasp is the fact that there is nothing about our ministry that God does not know. It is played out before his presence. Now, to bolster the seriousness of this charge, he also speaks of the fact that this is before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he immediately adds, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Now, the emphasis here does not seem to be so much upon the impending judgment at the end times, although it does embrace that in a general sense, but it focuses on God who will judge now as well as the end times. And perhaps the difference here is on the fact that redemptively, believers have already been judged in Christ, and we are found no longer guilty. We have been declared righteous by the awesome work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and by the Holy Spirit applying that to us, bringing us into a vital relationship with God through Jesus Christ by the means of the new birth and faith in Christ. And so as a result, we are justified. Our sins are forgiven. But yet God does judge us, and we will be judged for our works. Not our salvation, but our faithfulness or the lack of it as we stand before the Lord. Now, unfortunately, when it comes to ministry, there are a lot of examples out there today that clearly demonstrate that there are a lot of people who are, quote, called preachers or pastors or teachers or whatever terminology. And you can tell by the nature of their ministry, by the contents of their ministry, by the way that they parade around, that they are not serious about what they're doing as it relates to the glory of God. Now, I don't want to presume upon what's in their heart, but when it comes to their outward expressions, their, quote, fruit, their actions, There is so much that is just an absolute mockery that Bible-believing Christians should find offensive. It's quite often that the content of their so-called preaching or teaching is not the Word of God. It's based upon modern psychology. It's based upon principles or concepts related to self-help. It's based upon counseling principles that are not biblical. A lot of it is entertainment-oriented. And so these men and women, I would count as false teachers. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. They do not care about the sheep. They do not care about what they say, as long as they think that it will help them in some way of becoming popular or perhaps wealthy. But to them, this whole thing of ministry is not a serious thing. But for any man of God, it is, and we should perceive it as a serious thing. Now, the second thing I want us to note is the nature of Paul's charge to Timothy. And this is found in verse 2. Preach the word. In fact, if you go back to verse 1, I charge you therefore, and then we could go straight to verse 2 where it says, preach the word. This is the essence of the charge. The charge is given before God and before Christ, but the charge in and of itself is to preach the word. Now, there are two things that I want us to note here, but first, I want us to look at this concept of charge. The term charge comes from a root term from which we get the idea of witness or to testify. But it is to witness or to testify thoroughly. Now, the root term is martyr. Now, a martyr is someone who suffers or who dies for their faith. But more to the point, for testifying or living out or being an example of their faith. So when you look at this term in its totality, it means to affirm solemnly, to testify, to warn, to witness. And because of its grammatical structure, it emphasizes a witnessing that is done with a high level of self-involvement, that is, with strong personal interest motivating it. So what this means is that this thing of what Paul is telling Timothy to do is vital to the Apostle Paul himself. And of course, if you know anything about the Apostle Paul and his ministry, his teachings and his persecutions and sufferings, then you know that maintaining and adequately proclaiming the gospel was his life passion. And he suffered for it. But the result is that he never watered down his message to make things easier for himself. He never viewed ministry just simply as a way of making a living. It was not just, quote, a job. It was something of a necessity that was placed upon him. When Christ opened his eyes, when he understood for the first time his own sinfulness, when he understood who Christ really was, the Messiah, when he understood the redemptive death of Christ and what that meant, and from the call of Jesus Christ himself, when he told Paul that you are a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name, that same name that he ridiculed, that same message or gospel that he laughed at and grew angry at, he now, with every sense of his being, was faithful in preaching the gospel. And so this same basic point is given to everyone whom the Lord has called, whom the church recognizes they are called upon to preach the word. The idea of preach means to herald openly the message of Christ, the gospel. The preacher is to preach or proclaim the word of God. Everything from Genesis to Revelation. The Word of God is what we proclaim. Now, unfortunately, you hear sermon after sermon after sermon where the Word of God is almost like a footnote. Maybe someone will quote a passage, but then talk for 20, 30, 40 minutes about all kinds of things, but they're not proclaiming the Word of God. That's why a part of faithful proclamation of Scripture requires that you study seriously the Word of God. You have to know it. You have to be familiar with it. Now, I'm not saying that we know God's Word perfectly. No one knows the Scriptures perfectly. But we have to know it as much as is humanly possible so that we can effectively proclaim that. It is, in a sense, a sacrifice that we make before the Lord and ask His blessings, because preaching the Word is not just simply a human thing, it is a divine thing. Yes, God has called us to preach the Word, but it is God who gives power to His Word because it is His gospel. God is able to bless greatly, even in the moments of our weaknesses. And God can withhold His blessings, even when we think we have a phenomenal sermon to preach. We have to be humble. We have to do our best to be prepared. But we pray to God that He will see fit to use it according to His desire and purpose. We cannot change people's hearts. Sometimes there is that temptation to try to manipulate people emotionally. But when you do that, you're taking the response of God's Word out of God's hands, and you're placing that in your hands where it doesn't need to be. God has called us to be a faithful witness, to give an accurate message. It is God who will apply that when and how He sees fit. But we are to preach the Word. That's the substance of the charge. Now, the engagement of the charge is seen in four key concepts here. To be ready in season and out of season, to convince, to rebuke, to exhort with all longsuffering. We are to be ready because we never know when there is an opportunity to preach the Word, to share the Word, to disciple. We're to be ready when it's convenient, when it's not convenient, when things are going good, when things are going bad, when things are productive, when things are unproductive. We are to be ready. Now, as I said a moment ago, there's a lot of things here that needs to be addressed, but for the sake of time, we just simply can't. Now, this brings us to the third part of this study, and that is the explanation of Paul's charge to Timothy. And this is seen in verse 3. Verse 3 begins with the term "for," which is a term of explanation. Why the seriousness of the charge? Why the charge itself? To preach the Word. Why these terms of engagement? Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Well, the reason is for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And they refer to those within the church. Now, I hope that we know that just because someone is in church or attends church, perhaps who is even a member of a church, does not mean that they are necessarily a believer. Now, there are people who are believers, but who are very immature spiritually, and they are easily manipulated by other sources. But the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Now, as we look at this passage, the time will come. The reality is that the time is now. So many do not endure when it comes to sound doctrine. The term endure basically has the idea of tolerate. It's a sad testimony, but there are many within the church that simply will not tolerate sound doctrine. Doctrine here just simply means teaching, what the Word of God teaches, those things that are true. Because of spiritual immaturity, because of laziness, or perhaps because of spiritual death, people not having actually received the Holy Spirit, those having not been born again, they will not tolerate the truth, sound doctrine. But notice the contrast here. But, and I'm going to read this somewhat inadvertently, but they will heap up for themselves teachers. This simply means instead of recognizing the authority and the message of those that are God called, they will want for themselves teachers of their own choosing. If you go back and look, it says according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. Now this is a very interesting phrase, because they have itching ears. The idea seems to be that whenever you have an itch, and it's at a certain place on your body that you can't get to, like that small place in your back, sometimes you have to ask someone to scratch it for you, or perhaps you go to a table or a doorpost and you try to scratch, and sometimes that itch just seems to be beyond your reach. But when it finally is soothed, there is such a sweet relief. And so what Paul is suggesting is that there are people that want to hear things that will soothe their conscience, that will not make them feel uncomfortable, that will not challenge them, but that will soothe them in what they want, in what they do, and in what they want to hear. They want to be affirmed in their sinfulness. They don't want to be called out because of their sinfulness. And this is what we find in a lot of churches today. Churches that are very worldly oriented, and they call a person, and this person attempts to be faithful and to preach the Word, the Scriptures. But that creates problems because there are people within the congregation that don't want that. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. But the bottom line is that they don't want that. So then they try to find someone that they can manipulate, that they can control, that they can dictate to what they want to hear. And as a result, whenever they get these false teachers, they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So this is one of the reasons why this is so serious. It's why the man of God should be serious, but it's also why the church should be serious. And then the last point that we need to make is the faithfulness in Paul's charge to Timothy. And this is seen in verse 5. After giving this explanation, Paul contrasts this by saying, "But you, Timothy, you be watchful in all things. You endure afflictions. You do the work of an evangelist. You fulfill your ministry." The term watchful basically means to be sober, to be clear-thinking, to be level-headed, to keep your mind. To endure affliction emphasizes the hardness, the difficulty of ministry, and yet the need to persist, to keep going. To do the work of an evangelist, keeping in mind that you not only feed the sheep, but that you also must address unbelievers with the gospel, praying that the Lord will transform sinners by His grace and bring those individuals into the fold. And fulfill your ministry, that is to faithfully carry out what God has called you to do. Now, as I give these instructions, these words, I don't want you to think for a moment that I have mastered this. I have not. The reality is that in the frailty of my flesh, I have failed, and I have failed miserably in every single one of these things in my ministry. But God knows our frailty, but His grace is sufficient. In those moments of failure, we cry out for the Lord to forgive us, to strengthen us, so that we can be faithful. And unless we come to a point that we just absolutely disqualify ourselves, which I do believe that men can become disqualified from serving in pastoral ministry, pastoral leadership. But up until that point, we can't wallow in our failures. We have to seek repentance. We have to confess our sins and remind us of this charge all over again to get back where we need to be. But the most crucial thing in all of these things together is that all of this pinpoints to the essence of the charge, which is to preach the word. So those that are listening, pray that for your pastor. Pray that as a church, that would be your passion. For this one who is being set apart, pray that for him, that he and all of God's ministers will be faithful and take all of these various facets and bring them together to this one thing of preaching the word. Until next week, may the Lord bless you, is our prayers.
You have been listening to the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an evangelistic ministry of the Primitive Baptist Churches of the Southeastern United States. We encourage you to attend one of these churches whenever possible. This radio ministry and its supporters are committed to the authority, the inerrancy, and the divine inspiration of God's holy word, to the Saviorhood of Jesus Christ, as well as to His Lordship, and that salvation is by God's grace alone. We hope this program has had a positive spiritual influence in your life. If it has, please write us and let us know. We encourage you to be with us next week at this same time. To find out more information about the Lighthouse, you can visit us at our website at www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. That's all one word and in all lowercase letters. Once again, that's www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. Please take a moment and visit us at our website. This program exists because evangelistically minded people like you contribute to it. If you would like to help us bring the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world, then write us at The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. Once again, that's The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. We would love to hear from you. Until next week, this is Scott Reiner encouraging you to light your world.